Now it's time for Power of Prophecy, continuing the legacy of Tex Mars, exposing evil, and promoting Jesus Christ as Savior. Here's your host, Jerry Barrett.
Hello, friends, and welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I'm your host, Jerry Barrett, honored to have you join me again this week. We are going to do my favorite program of the month. It's time for Secrets. We are up to volume number 330. 330 volumes of information that the controlled media does not want you to know. But before I begin, I've got a few prayer requests I need to get to. I want to thank my dear friend Sledge out in Virginia for always being there as a prayer warrior and for the financial support of the ministry. My favorite Marine ever. God bless you, George. And got an email from David asking for intercessory prayer for an improvement in his health and financial circumstances. David says, thank you for the prayer effort. Got an email from John. Says, my wife and I are struggling with financial issues and spiritual issues most of all. Please pray for Alice and me for God to move powerfully to help us grow. So please hold John and Alice up in your prayers. Got another email from my evangelist buddy over in Finland, Ollie. He says, I'm asking for prayer. There are many outdoor events that I can work outside. And he also asks that Jesus blesses his wife's work and their marriage will have love and time to be together. He also asks for prayer for his radio program so that no one touches it and spoils a good program. And then a very dear friend of the ministry out in California, Khalil. I've spoken with Khalil numerous times. He's asking for a financial blessing to help get him out of financial debt, and if the Lord will, to find a local church of true saints for him to be among and fellowship with, and for guidance and direction in his life. He thanks the ministry for all that we're doing, and we're in his thoughts and his prayers. And he also asked for a prayer for George Allen Kelly, the rancher in Arizona that is being tried for murder. Allegedly, he shot and killed an illegal alien on his property, trespassing. But they are trying him in Arizona for murder, and Khalil's asking for liberation, freedom, and restoration for Mr. Kelly. I want to thank everyone out there for your continued prayers for this ministry, for Sandra and myself, our families. The ministry is doing as well as can be expected in these financial times, and I know that they are tough on everyone. And if you need prayer, please, please, you can email me at prophecy@texmars.com. You can email Sandra@texmars.com. You can phone us and leave a voicemail. We love to pray for you. It is a blessing and it is an honor to pray for you. Okay, now let's get into this week's program. And top of the list, California. My, my, my. I feel so sorry for everyone that is east of the coastline because that's where all the loony leftists live, is right there along the coast. Now, there's an interspersing of conservatives, but mostly the conservatives are inland in California. And they're having to put up with Gavin Newsom and the loony leftists that inhabit the state assembly. But I have this question, because we've all heard the phrase from the Bolshevik Revolution in Russia that they were going to create a workers' paradise, right? Is there any doubt in your mind that California has become a Marxist communist workers' paradise? All you have to know is that California's Fast Recovery Act passed into law in 2022. Now, if you don't live in California, you probably don't know what this is, but it kicks in on Solar Eclipse Monday, April 8th, and it raises the minimum wage for most, not all, because some of Gavin Newsom's backers, like Panera Bread franchisees or owners, were able to finagle a little bit of language in this bill to prevent them from doing this, but minimum wage is going to jump to $20 an hour for fast food restaurants. There are businesses that have already announced plans to shed employees. They are going to be cutting hours. And on top of Bidenflation, it's going to jack up the rate of purchase at these fast food restaurants. A 500,000 fast food workers were supposed to benefit from this FAST Act, raising the minimum wage. But will it? I doubt it. You and I both know cause and effect. The workers were supposedly going to benefit thanks to union bosses putting this thing together, but the consequences are going to be dire for those that work at these fast food restaurants. The Wall Street Journal reported last week forecasting the effects of this minimum wage hike, and the consequences include increased automation, workers being laid off, and hours being reduced for those who are lucky enough to stay on the job. The Congressional Budget Office last December conducted a study, and they found that raising the federal minimum wage to $17 an hour from $7.25 could increase wages for more than 18 million people, but also could reduce employment by about 700,000 workers. Higher wages, according to the Wall Street Journal, quote, higher wages would increase employers' costs, raise prices for consumers, and depress some demand. Some employers would also turn to technology to try to reduce their reliance on low-wage workers, close quote. Why is it called minimum wage? Because you have to have minimum skills to do the job. You also need minimum ability. It's supposed to be a on-the-job training and benefit teens, not be a career path. Now, some make it a career path and become management. Good for them. If you enjoy food service that much, good for you. But it's going to force thousands of restaurant owners to raise prices or cut their workforce. Unlike government entities, which these politicians are a part of, businesses exist to make money for the owner. By making money, owners will calculate how much product cost should be. They look at what their food costs are, what their miscellaneous inventory costs are, what their labor costs are, and then they base their menu prices off of that. When production gets high, the owner of the business is forced to either raise the price of the product or cut the production cost. But it is likely to hurt the people that these demon rats have claimed that they are looking out for. They are imbeciles. Since businesses began preparing for the arrival of the FAST Act, California had 726,600 people working in fast food and other limited service eateries in January, down 1.3% from last September. Total private employment in the state declined 0.2% over that period, according to state figures. But the controlled media, the loony leftists that control the media, downplay those effects. One NPR piece played the story under a neutral sounding headline, California fast food workers will get $20 minimum wage. Sounds peachy keen, but it is not. For six paragraphs, the reader gets to see how the law is a big win for cooks, cashiers, and other fast food workers. These are some of the lowest paid jobs in the country. Eventually, the article gets around to talking about the consequences. Laid off workers, reduced hours, increased automation, higher prices. The piece also noted that California is one of the country's most expensive states to live in. Reality is reality. People in business understand reality. The libtards in government almost never do. Scott Roderick owns 18 McDonald's restaurants in Northern California. He said, quote, "I can't charge $20 for Happy Meals. I'm leaving no stones unturned," close quote. Well, it's almost certain that he's going to have to cut human employment to produce the Happy Meal. Other restaurant owners in California are going to do the same thing, or they're going to no longer be restaurant owners. California, you're looking at lost jobs, lost opportunities, higher prices, higher unemployment, and your state's already broke. These mom-and-pop businesses can't take these hits. The larger chain food places can raise prices, but they're going to have to reduce employees too. They're looking to make money. These huge chains are making money. Thousands of restaurant workers are going to be unemployed. These are minimum skill, minimum ability employees. And you can bet that multiple locations are going to be closing. There is one, at least one, fast food restaurant in California that's testing a fully robotic restaurant that has no human workers. But what does the loony left do? Oh, they blame the fast food industry in California for retaliation for the wage increase. These politicians have never comprehended for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. I can almost see another gigantic wave of businesses closing and relocating out of the state of California, as well as the workers. Why would you stay if you can't get a job? Do you want to be part of the homelessness in San Francisco or LA, Oakland, San Francisco with all the druggies? I don't think so. So you'll either learn a trade or you'll move. Well, here's another one from the Biden administration. Our saviors. They are so worried about our environmental health that they have taken it upon themselves to attack things like gas stoves. I was always told natural gas was clean, but there's a war on gas stoves now. There's a war on dryers and washing machines. The Department of Energy has gone bonkers under Jennifer Granholm. That's right. If you were in Michigan when she was governor, you understand the idiocy that emanates from that woman. She is a perfect piece in the Biden administration. In August of last year, the DOE, the Department of Energy, took it upon themselves to attack ceiling fans. Now, currently, I am sitting in my office at the Lazy Bee Ranch recording this with a ceiling fan going so I don't have to run the air conditioner. We've got beautiful weather right now. It's in the low 80s. Ceiling fan just helps keep the body cool. But the Biden administration has tackled another infamous evil in these ceiling fans. About 85 million Americans use ceiling fans. And many of them have more than one in the home. I have one in each bedroom. I have three bedrooms. One of them is my office. I have one in the living room and one in my wife's office. So what is that? Five? ceiling fans in my house. So I don't have to run the AC at blizzard just to be comfortable in this Texas heat. But the Biden administration has claimed that with the new proposed regulations, they will save an American $34.84 over the lifespan of each ceiling fan. Whoop-de-doo, right? The DOE claims their new proposed rules are going to save the average American a whopping $4 a year. The House Committee on Small Business said, quote, "This rule would require numerous small business fan manufacturers to redesign their products and may put between 10 and 30% of small business ceiling fan manufacturers out of business." So, I've reported on this before about wind turbines and some of the idiocy that's emanating from the EPA and Jennifer Granholm's Department of Energy. Ceiling fans are bad. Gas stoves are bad. You may need gas generators because the Biden administration has messed up responding to disasters in your area. Well, these have been deemed bad. Wind farms offshore that disorient and kill whales is good. Wind farms killing birds, good. Killing the oil production in the United States but loosening embargoes on dictators like in Venezuela to get gas prices down, that's good as well. Solar farms. There is a huge one in Fort Bend County in Texas. There was a gentleman, an aviator, named Ryan Ashcroft, who captured aerial footage showing the extent of the damage that a hailstorm on March 15th did to the Fighting Jays solar farm. Hundreds of panels have been obliterated thanks to hailstorms. Okay, if you live in the Midwest, you know about tornadoes. You know about hailstorms. The damage that can happen. I've had a previous truck I owned just pummeled because I didn't have covered parking at the apartment I lived in at the time. Pummeled by golf ball size hail. And it comes down hard. If you've ever been stuck outside in a hailstorm, you know how bad that hurts. You probably had whelps on your head. Because these stones are ice and they're hurtling towards the earth and they do a lot of damage. So the idiots that deem that solar panels are renewable energy and we need to have a whole farm, acres and acres and hundreds of acres of these solar panels in the Midwest to capture energy. Are you listening, ERCOT? You idiots in Texas that deem wind and solar panels to be our savior. We have hailstorms here, and the damage that was inflicted on this one solar farm is immense. But residents are worried that these broken solar panels could leak harmful chemicals such as cadmium telluride, a semiconducting material commonly used in these panels that can cause major health problems in inhalation and ingestion. You get that? Cadmium telluride. Nick Kaminsky is one of the residents that is worried about this. He said, quote, "I have a family, two children and a wife. My neighbors have kids and a lot of other residents in the area who are on well water who are concerned that the chemicals now leaking into our water tables could be bad for our health." That's right. This is going to leach in the ground. These are supposed to be green initiatives. Are they? If they're killing people because of toxic chemicals that leach into the groundwater, that ends up in the well that we all in Texas drill for to get good, clean water. If it poisons people, how renewable and how great is that? Goodness. Now, Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners has released a statement saying, quote, "The silicon-based panels contain no cadmium telluride, and we have identified no risk to the local community or the environment," close quote. Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners owns the Fighting J Solar Farm out in Fort Bend County. It did confirm that the storm destroyed many of its panels. The company is assessing the extent of the impact of the storm on the generation of the project. How is this green? And how many people realize that these solar panels come from China? Red China. Do they care if we have no electricity? No, because they are building coal-fired power plants all over Southeast Asia to create energy for them. And if we're affected by solar panels getting destroyed by a hailstorm, too bad, so sad, it'll be easier to invade. Good night, nurse. Here I came across this one in the Blaze. Have you ever heard of Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA? Congress has until April 19th to reauthorize it. And the FBI is trying to rehabilitate the image, the perception of Section 702. They recently posted a video on X or Twitter, whatever you want to call it, with Director Christopher Wray attempting to gloss over on Section 702. However, there was a community note put on this tweet from the FBI. Quote, the FBI violated American citizens' Fourth Amendment rights 278,000 times with illegal, unauthorized FISA 702 searches. Senator Mike Lee, a Republican from Utah, said, quote, FISA 702 has been used for warrantless surveillance of U.S. citizens hundreds of thousands of times. Yet the FBI demands 702 be reauthorized without a warrant requirement for searches of United States citizens. 702 enables the state to spy on foreign nationals located outside the U.S. with the compelled aid of electronic communication service providers. This law was exploited by the FBI to spy on members of the Trump campaign in 2016 without probable cause. Supposedly, going through the courts has proven too costly because the resources required and because the government couldn't always meet probable cause standards, which was designed to protect U.S. citizens in the U.S. Keep an eye on that. April 19th. A little more than 2 weeks away. Now, Grady Judd over in Florida, one of the sheriffs there, is very entertaining when he has a massive haul of predators that they arrest, whether they're soliciting prostitution or if they're trafficking children. He's quite comical to watch on YouTube. But he's not alone. In 2022, Sheriff Bob Johnson of Santa Rosa County in Florida said this. You got to listen to this. This is quite serious.
As to the person, we don't know which homeowner shot at him. I guess they think that they did something wrong, which they did not. If somebody's breaking in your house, you're more than welcome to shoot them in Santa Rosa County. We prefer that you do, actually. So whoever that was, you're not in trouble. Come see us. We have a gun safety class we put on every other Saturday, and if you take that, you'll shoot a lot better, and hopefully you'll save taxpayers' money.
Hopefully you'll save taxpayers' money. Hopefully. Well, Bob was recently on Fox News, March 27th, and he reiterated his previous remarks, emphasizing the finality of shooting an intruder, stating, quote, if you shoot accurately and you kill the guy, you save taxpayers' money, close quote. He further justified his position by highlighting the possibility of a deceased intruder committing another offense, asserting, quote, the odds of them reoffending are zero, and we like those odds, close quote. Now, regarding the prevalence of firearms in Santa Rosa County, Sheriff Johnson underscored his support for residents utilizing their weapons for self-defense within their homes. He emphasized, quote, somebody kicks in your door, it's not because they're coming to give you a hug or give you cookies. They're coming to commit felonies, close quote. In spite of facing scrutiny for his previous statements, Sheriff Johnson pointed out there have been no reported home invasions in Santa Rosa County since his controversial comments in 2022 advocated for the use of lethal force against intruders. What is so hard to understand about that? Gun-free zones invite criminals. They care not about your safety. They only care about their safety. And if you're unarmed, you're a statistic. You're a victim. You're a pawn. And the Bible says if you don't defend your family, you're worse than an infidel. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but I've said that numerous times, and Sheriff Johnson eloquently stated, we prefer that you would. Well, let's get to crooked politicians. This is our loony left crooked politician segment, I guess. Regina Hill is an Orlando City Commissioner. Ms. Hill is looking at multiple felonies for allegedly stealing more than $100,000 from an elderly woman who was in her care. This 96-year-old woman was scammed out of her life savings by Ms. Hill, allegedly, who managed to rack up over $10,000 in debt in the woman's name on clothing, car insurance, and personal expenses. She also spent cash on facelift, dental surgery, and hotel rooms. Ms. Hill is also accused of buying a $400,000 home that the woman was a co-signer on without this woman's knowledge and moving into a second house the woman owned, then stealing $15,400 of the woman's hard-earned savings to renovate it. Now, Ms. Hill met this elderly woman in 2021 after she was found to be living in deplorable conditions. Despite not having a prior relationship with this woman, she became her power of attorney, pre-need guardian, and health care surrogate within a month. The elderly woman recalled signing some sort of document that she admittedly did not understand, but certainly did not authorize Ms. Hill to blow through her $164,000 in savings. Now, Ms. Hill was put under investigation after the agency was tipped off that Ms. Hill was taking advantage of the community by a former employee. Ms. Hill's been arrested on 7 felony charges, including 3 counts of exploitation of an elderly person. According to the West Orlando News, Hill has a history of bad behavior while in office. She's been arrested for public intoxication and disorderly conduct on an out-of-state trip that was funded by taxpayer dollars. She reportedly lived out of district while in office and faced foreclosure on the home she lived at in 2016. In 2017, she was accused of committing affordable housing fraud. Politicians taking advantage of their people. Goes on everywhere. Doesn't always make the news, but goodness. My mom is 84, and I worry about scammers. People that know what buttons to push and what kind of financial windfall they can reap off of these elderly people. We have to be diligent protecting our elders and letting this politician scam her way into this elderly woman's life and getting all this power over her everyday needs and expenses allowed this person to steal this woman's life savings. Where do people get the audacity to commit these kind of crimes? The hubris of these people is immeasurable, and it's wrong. Well, that's going to take care of the first half. I want to thank you for giving me some of your time. We're going to have to take a brief pause. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. When I come back, I'm going to dive right back more into a whole bunch of secrets. Stay with us, won't you? I'll be right back. Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. I want to tell you about an outstanding book that we offer, authored by Frank L. Britton, entitled Behind Communism. Here is persuasive, unassailable proof that it was Jewish revolutionaries who invented and supervised the horrors and ravages of communist totalitarianism. Karl Marx, a Zionist Jew, was inspired by Moses Hess, a Zionist Jew, to formulate the dogma of the communist system. Then Lenin, a Zionist Jew, teamed up with Trotsky, a Zionist Jew, and other Illuminati Zionist Jews to seize the Russian Empire and turn it into a massive, bloody, killing and torture factory rivaling anything that George Orwell could have ever conceived. In this groundbreaking book, you will be shocked to discover what and who is behind communism. It's 128 pages. We're only asking $15. Please add $6 shipping and handling. That'll make your total $21 for Behind Communism. You can order your copy by phoning us toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-800-234-9673. Again, that's 1-800-234-9673. If you care to phone us on our regular line, that number is 512-263-9780. We're in the office Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Time. We accept Visa, MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. You can use those same charge cards at our secure shopping cart by going to powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. There's an ad for Behind Communism right there on the main page. Click on it, put in your name, address, charge card, shipping method, hit submit. We'll get it and get it coming to you. If you want a fax in an order, our fax number is 512-263-9793. Just put down your name, your address, your charge card information, and a little note that says, I want Behind Communism. If you want to send in a check, money order, or cash, please make your check or money order payable to Power of Prophecy, and you can mail it to us here at 4819 R.O. Drive, Suite 102, Spicewood, Texas, and our zip code is 78669. $21 postpaid for Behind Communism. Okay, now let's return to our regular program. We are covering Secrets today, Secrets Volume number 330. I've got one more crooked politician story I need to get to. I've talked about this woman before. She is the mayor of Dalton, Illinois. D-O-L-T-O-N. If you have a chance to go to YouTube, you need to see some of the reports on this tyrant. Last week, there was a mob of furious residents who demanded that the self-described super mayor, Tiffany Hinyard, resign from her post as a Dalton dictator. She is battling, Ms. Hinyard, is battling simultaneous sexual assault charges and embezzlement scandals. Last week, the Dalton Village Council board meeting descended into chaos as over 100 people banged on doors and dozens of others testified against Ms. Hinyard. 100 protesters called for her to resign as the mayor of the village of Dalton, Illinois. Now, you'll recall I covered last month that Ms. Hinyard vetoed a resolution that sought to investigate her spending following allegations she misused taxpayer money on lavish trips and her own $1 million police detail. She's also accused of using taxpayer money for personal gain and fired a former employee who made sexual assault allegations. The mayor has denied any wrongdoing, claiming that the storm of allegations is nothing more than a smear campaign against a female politician. But her three-year tenure has been plagued by corruption accusations. They have ramped up in recent weeks after she admitted to a $2 million deficit for this little town. Now, in the case of the sexual harassment charge by the former employee, they accused the mayor of firing her because she claimed that she was assaulted during a work trip in Las Vegas last year. There's also been allegations that Mayor Hinyard has canceled businesses who failed to donate to her campaign. I mean, little Stalin, little Lenin running as the mayor in Dalton, Illinois. Oh, man, I'd like to say you get what you pay for. I mean, this little village decided to elect this woman in the first place, and now they have wrought so much destruction onto their little village, and it's not going to go away easily. They just reelected her, I believe. Good night, nurse. Oh, my. Well, let's go to the Big Apple. There has been a number of broad daylight attacks on women in New York City. These women are peacefully navigating the sidewalks in Manhattan and have been viciously attacked in recent weeks. Hallie Kate McGuckin, a social media influencer, was apparently one of those. She was choked up and tear-stained when she recently noted in a viral video, quote, "I was just literally walking and a man came up and punched me in the face. Oh my God, it hurts so bad I can't even talk," close quote. Sarah Harvard, another recent victim, was on her way to a comedy show on the Lower East Side on March 19th when she was attacked from behind. Quote, "I was walking and out of nowhere, bam, I almost fell over, the back of my skull throbbing in pain. Brain feels rattled," close quote, Ms. Harvard wrote on X or Twitter. There has been one arrest, at least. 40-year-old Skaboki Stora of Brooklyn was arrested. Find out that he was a former candidate for some position in New York, one of the boroughs maybe as a council member, I don't know. But Mr. Stora was arrested for assaulting at least one. The New York City Council and their predominantly leftist women's caucus stated it was, quote, "deeply disturbed and concerned about widespread reports of attacks against women in New York City that have been confirmed by the New York Police Department." One Democratic New York City Councilwoman asked why men were not altogether stepping up to address this issue. Well, therein lies the problem. In May of 2023, a homeless man by the name of Jordan Neely, with a long history of criminal arrests, threatened various passengers on a New York City subway. Passengers cowered away from Mr. Neely and were all gathered on one side of the train. Women and men alike were in danger. That's when former Marine Daniel Penny, who was 24 at the time, did not just videotape on his phone what was going on. He did something about it. Mr. Penny said, quote, "the three main threats he repeated over and over was, I'm going to kill you. I'm prepared to go to jail for life, and I'm willing to die." The former Marine put Mr. Neely in a chokehold, and Mr. Neely subsequently died. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, always on the scene, condemned Penny and painted Mr. Neely as a victim. Councilwoman Amanda Farias was among the loudest critics of Mr. Penny's attempt to restore order and protect women. On May 11th of 2023, Ms. Farias tweeted, quote, I continue to be heartbroken and outraged by the death of Jordan Neely and the lack of justice. The Black Caucus at NYC stands together to demand justice for Jordan and to pay attention to the systems that failed him so we do not lose any more black New Yorkers to senseless violence. Close quote. Pretty adamant. Mr. Penny needed to pay because he was a white guy and he put a chokehold on a black man who was a criminal with a long rap sheet who subsequently died. Well, ultimately, Mr. Penny was indicted by a Manhattan grand jury for second-degree manslaughter. But critics have seized upon Ms. Farias's recent comment, noting her past contempt for the kind of New Yorker who might intervene if he saw a woman attacked randomly. Christina Pashaw, an aide to Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, was one of many who responded to Farias's question, simply with a picture of Mr. Penny. One ex-user wrote, quote, "Where are the men calling this out? On trial right now. That's where," close quote. Dana Loesch responded, quote, "Y'all jail them," close quote. Michael Seifert is the founder and CEO of the conservative Public Square, wrote, quote, "They're all getting arrested like Daniel Penny," close quote. Heritage Research fellow Jason Bedrick responded, quote, "New York City policies are doing this. Here's an idea. Stop punishing the men who step up and help and stop releasing dangerous perpetrators awaiting trial," close quote. Ms. Farias is notorious for trying to kneecap the police. The New York Post highlighted how Farias, when just a council candidate, underscored the need to, quote, "significantly divest from police precincts," close quote, and pledged to support, quote, "the reduction of NYPD's operating budget and partnering alongside the community to create real solutions and justice for New Yorkers," close quote. Since taking office, Ms. Farias has made good on her anti-police promises. She sponsored How Many Stops Act legislation that serves to stymie policing efforts. Republican New York City Councilwoman Vicky Palladino noted that a real fix to the problem Farias now seems to care about may require addressing the laws that allow criminals to prowl the streets freely. Where are the people, the men, who would defend women? They're getting arrested in New York. Why would you bother? Most people nowadays just pull out their phone and record these things instead of doing anything about it. And those that do something about it get arrested. Well, if you're in Washington State, you can relax. Taking the bar exam is no longer a requirement. The bar exam has been ruled racist. Yes, the bar exam, that one that allows law students to become lawyers and practice in the state of Washington, the bar exam has been ruled racist. The Washington Supreme Court issued two decisions that endorse alternative paths for those who wish to pursue a career in law by removing the requirement to pass the bar. The court argued that the traditional bar exam blocks marginalized groups from entering the practice of law. Oh my. This bar license task force was chaired by Washington Supreme Court Judge Raquel Montoya Lewis and Seattle University Law School Dean Anthony Verona. The task force concluded that traditional bar exams, quote, "disproportionately and unnecessarily block marginalized groups from practicing law and are at best minimally efficient in ensuring competent attorneys," close quote. Oregon is the only state that's approved alternatives to the bar examination for law licensing. California, you can bet, will jump on this soon. You don't have to pass the bar because it's racist. Are you tired of all of those in the woke community labeling everything as racist? There's been medical devices and marriage that have been deemed racist. Last year, the Biden administration claimed that roads were racist. Math has been accused of being racist. Economic recessions are racist. People who refuse to wear a mask during the scamdemic, you guessed it, racist. It doesn't matter to the loony left that they accuse everything of being racist. The accusations are not meant to promote equality. It is purely political. Are you like me and wonder what's going to be racist tomorrow? It seems everything is traveling down that path. I have joked for a long time, what do you call the person who graduates last in their medical school? Doctor. That's right. Well, now, wokeism is reaching our health profession. The University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, is one of the premier med schools in the country. But they are now implementing and have implemented a mandatory course on structural racism for first-year med students. Recently, UCLA had a guest speaker on that led students in chants of Free Palestine and demanded they bow down to Mama Earth. This is according to documents obtained by the Washington Free Beacon. The guest speaker was Lisa Gray Garcia. She began the March 27th class by leading students in what she described as non-secular prayer to the ancestors, instructing everyone to get on their knees and touch the floor, Mama Earth, as she described it, with their fists. At least half of these sheeple complied and got down on their hands and knees. While she gave this prayer, Gray Garcia thanked Native tribes for preserving what the settlers call L.A. It included a benediction for black, brown, and houseless people who die because of the capitalist lie of private property. Mama Earth was never meant to be bought, sold, pimped, or played, according to Gray Garcia. This long and loony lecture shocked some students at this elite medical school. Faculty and staff looked on in silence. Ms. Gray Garcia later referred to modern medicine as white science. And then she asked students to stand for a second prayer. This time, nearly everyone stood up. One student remained sitting, and a UCL administrator inquired about the student's identity, implying that discipline could be on the horizon. Goodness. So med schools are more worried about Mother Earth and anti-racism than learning how to properly treat patients. And they have a speaker that calls it white science. Why would you dare send your child to UCLA med school? Honestly, if they're going to promote this kind of garbage. But you should expect that in California. There is an activist group that has paid nearly 100 public high schoolers $1,400 each to learn how to fight for racial and social justice. Snowflakes on parade. This contract is between the Long Beach Unified School District and Californians for Justice, the CFJ. This is the activist group, Californians for Justice. The contract's been in place from 2019 to 2023, and the school district has used taxpayer funds to pay this group nearly $2 million to facilitate equity and leadership development training for students and teachers. However, white students need not apply. According to CFJ, they have trained hundreds of youth of color in Long Beach to be community leaders and organizers. In a recent video posted to the group's Instagram account, one student who was asked, quote, why should students join CFJ, close quote, responded, you get paid good. The organization's website states its leadership development programs operate with a focus on low-income youth, youth of color, LGBTQ youth, foster youth, and immigrant youth. Four teachers interviewed by the Free Press see the payments to students and their families as a horrible propaganda strategy. One teacher told the reporter, "I am shocked and horrified at such a fact." One teacher asked to not be named out of fear for losing her job, said these forums have transformed into a space for kids to simply air their grievances about school. The teacher said, quote, "They're obviously reading scripts that have words that they don't know how to say. The way that they are handing scripts to students, even the words coming out of the student's mouth, it feels like indoctrination and not information." Are you shocked? Now, Citizens for Justice, CFJ, has contracts for after-school programs in four of California's largest school districts, which include Fresno, Oakland, San Jose, and Long Beach. Public education has become indoctrination centers. They are warping the minds of these children and not teaching them how to be members of society, sadly. Well, let's go to another loony left city, Denver, Colorado. I have family in Denver, cousins. Love the city. It's beautiful up in the Rocky Mountains, but, well, Denver is a sanctuary city. They have been overrun with over 40,000 illegal immigrants being shipped there. Now, a Denver city official has begged a bunch of these illegal immigrants to leave and move to New York instead because they are going to suffer if they stay. His name is Andres Carrera. He's Denver's communication liaison for the newcomers. And he was videoed telling a group of illegals that the city's shelters can no longer help them and that they must travel to other sanctuary cities. Mr. Carrera said, quote, in Spanish, "The opportunities are over. New York gives you more. Chicago gives you more. I suggest you go there where there is longer-term shelter. There are also more job opportunities there." Close quote. Mr. Carrera also tells the migrants they can stay if they want, but the city will eventually cut them off. He offers them free transportation to these sanctuary cities of their choosing. He then asks the migrants to raise their hands if they wish to leave. The video shows a handful of people raise their hand. One says, "Todos," everyone wants to stay. Now, some of these immigrants really do want to come to America to better their lives. America has always welcomed legal immigration. We set a cap on it, the Congress does, and we want the best and the brightest to benefit our nation. That's why we have immigration laws. That's why we have a cap. But there is a detriment to all of these illegal immigrants. There was an interview conducted on a playground in Chicago with a group of illegals from Venezuela, and they say they are primarily sending their money that they get from the government back to their families in their home country. It's known as remittances. This accounts for a significant outflow of money from the U.S. The Heritage Foundation reported in 2011 that $52 billion was sent abroad by both legal and illegal immigrants. It's argued these transactions are detrimental to the U.S. economy because funds are being diverted from local spending to other countries. It was estimated in 2019 that the U.S. economy lost $150 billion due to these remittances. Why do they send money home? Because the dollar goes a lot further in Venezuela or Costa Rica, Mexico, El Salvador, Honduras. They're taking care of the family, and some of them are just putting it in safe deposit boxes. So when their time here in America is done, they have a stockpile of cash to become a high roller in their home country. If you ask me, that's smart. You live at the bare minimum here and you send the rest home. You can buy lots of property in Belize or other Central or South American countries. You can become wealthy with American dollars. But local businesses are suffering because of this. Education suffers because of this. Now, Donald Trump had implemented stricter policies on these remittances. As soon as Biden got in office, he rolled back these restrictions and allowed it to be much easier for the illegals to transfer money out of America and its economy. I've got one more I need to get to before we end the program. I talked about this guy, I believe. His name is Leonel Moreno. He's an influencer on TikTok. He's from Venezuela, and he has told many migrants things to do. He has over 500,000 followers on TikTok. Well, he was finally arrested by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, in Gahanna, Ohio. But on these videos on TikTok that Moreno has posted, he bragged about receiving stacks of cash from American taxpayers and urged other illegal aliens to take advantage of all the free money progressives are handing out. He has thanked Papa Biden for the free money. He said, quote, "I didn't cross the Rio Grande to work like a slave. I came to the U.S. to mark my territory. You're hurt because I make more than you without much work while you work like slaves, understand? That's the difference between you and me. I'm always going to make loads of money without much work, and you're always going to be exploited and miserable and insignificant," close quote. This guy also got on TikTok and encouraged illegal aliens to invade homes in America under squatting laws. Yes. Now, Mr. Moreno crossed into the country illegally in 2022 at Eagle Pass, Texas, and he was issued an initial check-in with ICE. He skipped out on it. According to ICE officials, quote, "Leonel Moreno is an unlawfully present citizen of Venezuela who illegally entered the country April 23, 2022. He was placed into alternatives to detention program by Border Patrol and was told to report to Enforcement and Removal Operations Office within 60 days of arriving at his destination. Mr. Moreno did not report as required. He has subsequently been arrested in Gahanna, Ohio, by officers with ERO Detroit's Columbus office and is currently detained pending further immigration proceedings. Like most Americans, I'm open to legal immigration. We need to import the best and the brightest to progress our nation forward. But the Biden administration and allied taxpayer-funded non-governmental organizations are importing some of the dumbest criminals the world has to offer, all in the hopes that they will get to be able to vote in the 2024 presidential election. That's the plan. They want to turn this country into a third world dung heap, a worker's paradise, just like out in California. Just wait. Unless we take our country back from these crooked politicians, Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, Adam Schiff, local politicians, state politicians, get the jack wagons out and get conservative America First people in. I want to thank you for tuning in and giving me an hour of your time. I greatly appreciate it. And as always, I pray you will tune in again next week at this same time. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.